Messy doesn't necessarily mean bad. On December 14th, my little cousin gave birth to their second son down in Albany. But due to the pandemic, she had been instructed by the hospital to stay home throughout as much of the labor as she could. Now, my cousin Maria comes from hearty stock. In fact, during college, she actually played rugby. I don't think they knew this, because by the time she and Sam got to the hospital, the baby was, well, let's just say, was on his way. In fact, so far, that they almost named him Matt, in honor of the floor mat upon which he was born in the lobby of the hospital. The story intrigued me as my family was relating it, until my mother and sister-in-law started giving more of the details than I cared to hear. I stepped away. I'm not into the messy details, but it strikes me perhaps I miss something when I'm not. For on this Sunday after Christmas, when we honor Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family, we must admit, for a family to be holy, it must be willing to face the mess. The gospel that we hear, the presentation in the temple, relates it so very well. 4 points for you today. First, we hear of the sacrifice. In fact, that's why they went to the temple. Following Jewish law, on the 40th day after the birth of the child, a sacrifice was to be offered. He had already been circumcised 8 days after his birth, but now sacrifice was to be offered. In fact, that's what his whole life was about. How fitting to start here and to end here, to offer not just those words of taking up your cross daily and following him, but the example that his whole life was an offering for our sake out of love. We remember here that adage that family is an acronym, or at least it can be. You know it, right? Forget about me, I love you. F-A-M-I-L-Y. For a family to live out its call to holiness, there's always that self-gift that comes from sacrifice. Forget about me. I love you. And we hope and trust that that love is reciprocated, but it comes with no strings, no promise, no assurance that it will be. There is a sacrifice. Secondly, it comes with obedience. The Holy Family models it so well. Joseph in particular, who we honor this year of Saint Joseph, was just like Abraham in our first reading, willing to receive life despite all odds. In a dream, Joseph finds, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that she has conceived." He was obedient to that dream given by the Holy Spirit, but also, like Abraham, willing to be obedient to that call to move. Remember, to go to Bethlehem, first of all, for the census. Secondly, to go to Egypt. And then years later, to return, but also here in this gospel, 40 days after the birth, those of you that are parents, how quick were you to pack up and move with the newborn after just a few weeks? I would imagine I would be rather reluctant. And that's with all the modern conveniences of travel today. If anyone could presume to be exempted from the prescripts of the law, it would be Joseph and the Holy Family. He was the foster father of the Son of God and the spouse of the Blessed Virgin. Why do they need to go to the temple? Maybe it doesn't make sense, but to obey, to hear, to listen to receive. Third, the Holy Family is often marked with poverty. These days, we all acknowledge that so many of us have so much. But of course, we also acknowledge that that's never what really makes us happy. The law prescribed that a lamb and a dove would be offered up for sacrifice when the child was brought to the temple. But that was an expensive offering. And an exception could be made for those families that didn't have the means to pay for the lamb. They could offer two birds, two turtle doves. And what did the Holy Family offer? The birds. So pleased to be reminded by the example of the Holy Family that the game of life is never won by the one who dies with the most toys. To be poor in spirit and sometimes with an open heart in reality, it's a sign of the Holy Family. And then finally, what struck me in the Gospel today was that a Holy Family sees the mess for what it is. This dovetails with my cousin's challenging situation. But it also dovetails with the other name that is given for this feast day that we hear. We speak of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, but it was also called, more traditionally, the purification. I always avoided that term, but I was doing some reading this week about it. You see, the law required that the child's mother offer sacrifice for the sake of purification after childbirth. And I never liked that image because it sounds, at least it can sound, to sound like the law considered sex or womanhood or childbirth in some way dirty or sinful. So we don't want to talk about that. Dr. Scott Hahn had this great insight. He said, no, that's not the perception that we're supposed to have. Because the other way we use the term purification around the temple was also with the priests purifying the holy vessels when they were used for the liturgy. There in the temple, every time they would be used, they would then be purified so as to be ready in the future to do so again. So the woman who gives birth was also purified, not acknowledging something bad, but acknowledging something that was good and holy. The holiness of the vessel and the holiness of that which it contains to be renewed. Is there any wonder that what the deacon and I do after the distribution of Holy Communion, when we go over to the side table, what do we call that? The purification. Nothing wrong with the chalice, nothing wrong with the precious blood in it, but to prepare for what else the Lord wishes to give to us. My brothers and sisters, as we spend these days focused on family, those near and those far, those on this side of eternity and those unable to be with us at this time, we ask for the grace that our families may be marked with holiness. Yes, with sacrifice. Yes, with obedience. Yes, with poverty of spirit. And yes, with acknowledging a mess for what it really is. An opportunity for God's grace to be shared.